Before that, he gets together with me on Wednesday mornings, because I'm not able to be here with y'all on Wednesday nights, and we do a little study, just me and him, and I do appreciate that. That does help keep me encouraged. But I do hate not being here on Wednesday nights with y'all, to be here to encourage y'all and for y'all to encourage me. That is something that we need. We need that from one another. We need to remember that we are a church, that we are the body of Christ, and we all have to do our part. And we done a little talk though Wednesday. We had a little study we're going through is something that Chris Brewer put together. And he had a lesson on Josiah here about his heart. And that's kind of what I want to speak on this morning. That lesson really really hit hard with me. Some things that me and Nathan talked about that definitely we both want to have a heart like Josiah had. And that's what I want to speak on this morning, is that heart like Josiah. And so as we look into here the life of Josiah, we're going to see a man who sincerely loved the Lord. This is a man in whom he failed God, he mourned, and he was truly sorrowful. This is something I believe, though, that is lacking today in many Christians. Maybe many of us here, we are lacking these things. I know I can get better at these things. I think sometimes when we do fail God, when we do fall short, we don't have that mourning. We don't have that sorrow that should follow. And we've got to have that. As we just sung that song, it won't be very long. If we don't have that heart like we should have, we're not going to be ready when our Lord returns. Some of us may say, well, you can't tell if I'm lacking in my life, my walk with Christ. But if we said that into ourselves or tell people that, then we are most definitely mistaken. When we think about our Christian walk, when we look at those things, the easiest thing to see in the life of a Christian is whether or not they are serving God, whether or not they love God or not. That is the easiest thing to see in them. It is not hard to see a Christian to tell that they love the Lord. That is not hard to see. Because of that, our inward attitude that we have towards serving God and pleasing God produces an outward appearance that is seen by all and is evident by all. And we're going to see that in the life of Josiah. The love that he had for God was evident to all people. It was nothing that was hidden within him. It was something that was seen and evident by all. And the exact same thing is true for us today. If you have a love for God like we should have, then it will be evident to everybody around you. It will be something that will be shown. When you have that inward love and that love and giving God your all, you cannot hide that. And so it is easy for us to see and tell when we are not as we should be. Because this is how we shine as a light to all those around us. We all understand that, how we're to be a light to this world around us. And we're that light by us living as we should, as that example that's been set before us by Christ, and that example has been given to us in His Word. As we live and conduct ourselves as He would have us, and we give God our all, we deny ourselves, and we follow Him, then we are being a light that we can be in this world around us. We are being a reflection of that true light, which is Jesus Christ. To help just draw that point real quick, I want to turn with me to John chapter 12. Let's look at a few scriptures here for us to understand this. John 12, there in verse 35, starting. Then Jesus said to them, "A little while longer the light is with you. Walk while you have the light, lest darkness overtake you. He who walks in darkness does not know where he is going. While you have the light, believe in the light, that you may become sons of light." These things Jesus spoke and departed and was hidden from them. We need to become sons of light. And we are sons of light. Then it is evident to everybody around that we are sons of light, that we are who we should be. In Romans, we'll turn to Romans chapter 13. Romans 13, verse 11, starting. "And do this knowing the time, that now it is high time to awake out of a sleep. For now our salvation is nearer than we will first believe. The night is far spent. The day is at hand. Therefore, let us cast off the works of darkness, and let us put on the armor of light. Let us walk properly, as in the day, not in revelry and drunkenness, not in lewdness and in lust, not in strife and envy, but put on the Lord Jesus Christ and make no provision for the flesh to fulfill its lust. We need to understand these things here. We are now children of the light. We got to put on the Lord Jesus Christ so that we can be those things. We need to awake. We need to know the time, redeem the time. We need to understand these things as Christians. So many times I believe that we ourselves as Christians do fall asleep, no longer serving God as we should, no longer being that example that we need to be, and then we're overtaken by the darkness that we've allowed to come into our lives. We've got to fill our lives with godliness. We've got to fill our lives with the great good things that our Lord has given us. Because if we're not, the devil's going to give us many things to overtake us. We will fill our lives with those things. Ephesians 5 and verse 8 there, it says, "For you were once darkness, but now you are the light in the Lord. Walk as children of light. For the fruit of the Spirit," he goes on talking about all those things, "is in all goodness, righteousness, and truth, finding out what is acceptable to the Lord. For we were once darkness, so now we are the light in the Lord." So we need to be walking as children of the light. When you think about us, that light, I already talked about it, it's very evident to all people around us if we are that light or not. You think about a flashlight. Maybe if you got a flashlight and you maybe go on a long period of time, it may start off very bright. We're using that flashlight, but it slowly goes dim. Sometimes maybe we don't even notice it, that it's grown that dim. Maybe until we get closer to somebody else or another light that somebody else has, then we can see clearly, hey, my light has become very dim. I use that example for us to think about. Oftentimes, I think we ourselves become weak, but yet we can't notice it because it was over a slow period of time. But when we gather with brethren, when we gather with others, we can realize that our light is not what it should be. Do we understand how important it is for us to gather together? We do encourage and we do edify one another. We strengthen one another so that our light can continue to shine forth. And if I am neglecting that, and that's why I do not want to miss no services. I don't want to miss nothing with my brethren because I need the encouragement. I do realize if I'm not getting any of my study that I should be and not getting encouragement from my brethren, that I will become dim and I will be overtaken by darkness. We all have to understand this. Others, think about others who maybe seen us leave with our light burning bright. They can notice it quickly when we return and our light is not nearly as bright as it once was. But telling someone their flashlight is about dead is a lot easier than telling someone that they are no longer a light for God than they once were. A lot of times we become mad when somebody tells us that we're not the Christian we once was. We're not shining the light that we need to be in the world no more. It makes us mad. But yet we have to encourage one another. We have to be able to tell one another these things. We don't want our souls to become lost. We don't want our brethren to lose their souls. So let's encourage one another. That's continuing these things. And when we look into the life of Josiah, we're going to see a man when his way he received God's word, the way he lived, it was an encouragement not only to him, but to all those around him. Paul even has to encourage the brethren. We look at all the scripture that we have. We have so much scripture of the encouragement that the apostles has given the brethren here. In Ephesians 5 there, Paul is greatly encouraging them here. And starting in verse 1, Ephesians 5, he says, "Therefore, be imitators of God as dear children, and walk in love as Christ also loved us and given himself for us, an offering and a sacrifice to God for a sweet-smelling aroma. But fornication and all uncleanness or covetousness, let it not even be named among you as is fitting for saints. Neither filthiness, nor foolish talking, nor coarse jesting, which are not fitting, but rather giving of thanks. For this you know, that no fornicator, unclean person, nor covetous man, who is an idolater, has any inheritance in the kingdom of Christ and God. Let no one deceive you with empty words, for because of these things the wrath of God comes upon the sons of disobedience. Therefore do not be partakers with them. For you were once darkness, but now you are the light in the Lord. Walk as children of light. For the fruit of the Spirit is in all goodness, righteousness, and truth, finding out what is acceptable to the Lord. And have no fellowship with the unfruitful works of darkness, but rather expose them. For it is shameful even to speak of those things which are done by them in secret. But all things that are exposed are made manifest by the light. For whatever makes manifest is light. Therefore he says, awake, you who sleep. Arise from the dead, and Christ will give you light. See then that you walk circumspectly, not as fools, but as wise, redeeming the time, because the days are evil. Therefore do not be unwise, but understand what the will of the Lord is. Encouragement. Paul was encouraging the brethren here. We need to be encouraged regularly. We need to be encouraged from one another. We need to redeem the time. We need to remember what we've come out of. And we don't need to walk circumspectly, not as fools, but we need to be walking as wise. We need to understand what the will of the Lord is. And this is something that we need to remember regularly. We need to keep these things at our forefront. It is very important for us to always remember these things, because it's very easy for us to become overtaken. We can be overtaken by this darkness. And I want us, in this whole lesson I'm putting together, I want us to understand about Josiah and the heart that he had and how he received God's Word. Because I think it all comes down to it, is our heart has to be prepared to be able to receive God's Word. Many times I think we hear God's Word and do God and read it and maybe even teach it and preach it, but yet is it truly sinking in with us? Does it truly hit us as it should with our heart? And that's why I want to look at Josiah now. We're going to see here how Josiah was able to turn to God with all his heart, all his soul, and all his mind. If y'all will, go ahead and turn to 2 Kings chapter 22. That's where we're going to spend most of our rest of our lesson there in 2 Kings 22. Here we have here the story here of King Josiah here. Here, the king of Judah here. And the life that we're going to see him living here as a young man. I've become king here at a very early age, 8 years old. Then it says 18 years into his reign here is where they find the book of the law. So here in the man, he's about 26 years old, still a very young man. If y'all will, read along with me there, starting in verse 8 now. 2 Kings 22 and verse 8. It says, then Hilkiah the high priest said to Shaphan the scribe, I have found the book of the law in the house of the Lord. And Hilkiah gave the book to Shaphan, and he read it. So Shaphan the scribe went to the king, bringing the king word, saying, your servants have gathered the money that was found in the house and have delivered it into the hand of those who do the work, who oversee the house of the Lord. Then Shaphan the scribe showed the king, saying, Hilkiah the priest has given me a book. And Shaphan read it before the king. Now it happened when the king heard the words of the book of the law that he tore his clothes. I want to stop there for a minute. Here we have King Josiah. They've been doing some work on the temple here. They have found the book of the law. The book of the law has been lost here. They have found it. Now it's come, and he's read it before King Josiah here. And now Josiah has tore his clothes. Why would Josiah tear his clothes? Well, think about it here. He's just heard God's word read to him in the book of the law. And the tearing of his clothes shows a sign of remorse and mourning of his reaction to what he has just heard. And Josiah has just realized he and the people have not been following God's law. So why would Josiah be so upset? I mean, the book of the law was lost, wasn't it? I mean, their fathers had not done their job in teaching them, we're going to see later. And they were at least trying, were they not? So what's the big deal? Why was Josiah so upset that he tore his clothes? I mean, do Christians today make a good show of remorse? Or do they... And when Christians understand, when we today, when we fall short, when we sin, do we have this remorse? I mean, why is Josiah so upset? We need to understand and think about our actions. What is our action today? When we become lazy in our service to God, when we just turn from following the holy commandments that's been delivered to us from God, what's our actions when God's Word points those things out to us and we see the error in our life, when somebody else brings it to our attention, what is our reaction to God's Word? Do we see it for what it really is? It's a very serious matter. Josiah seen it for what it was. It was a very serious matter in what Josiah just heard. He just heard the book of the law being read to him. We need to react exactly as Josiah has reacted. We need to be burdened down with sorrow and do everything in our power to correct it. When we understand that sin is in our life, that sin has overtaken us, we need to be burdened down so much that it brings us to our knees and we are in remorse, that we are mourning because we have failed our God. We need to have this type of heart. I believe it's very easy for us to become relaxed in our service to God and slowly fall away, never really noticing it until it's way too late, until the world's overtaken us. It is very easy. We see this all the time with our brethren. Our brethren fall away because they slowly become choked out by the world that they are in so much that they're turning from God, slowly losing their grip upon God and serving Him until the world has got a choke on them that they cannot let go. We need to be careful with these things. We need to understand. And this ain't just back here in the old law here where they have failed and God says, well, if you don't keep up my commandments, you don't do here what I've said, this is what's going to happen. Because that's what he has just heard. The doom that will come upon them for their disobedience. We need to understand that today. I think many people today think, well, I believe in God and I have been baptized into Christ and I've done those, so I'm pretty good now. No, we are to live as God has instructed us. That is the beginning. That is the beginning of the walk of a child of God. It does not end there. It starts there. And then we live that faithful life unto death. We just read in our Bible class this morning in 2 Peter in chapter 2 and verse 20, starting, "For if after they have escaped the pollutions of the world through the knowledge of the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, they are again entangled in them and overcome, the latter end is worse for them than the beginning. For it would have been better for them not to have known the way of righteousness than, having known it, to turn from the holy commandment delivered to them." Here Peter is making it clear these are those who have turned from the holy commandment delivered to them. They have turned from the way of the righteousness. They have turned back to the world from which they came. Does it bring us to our knees when we fail? And when we read God's Word, when we read it, it should ever correct us every day of our life. It should find error in our life and it should bring it out. The light is manifest. The light brings those things to our attention. We don't need to hate the light. We need to love that light. And when it brings those things to our attention, we need to correct those things. We need to take God's Word as Josiah did. God told them what would happen for their disobedience. So let's look here now and see what God told them there. 2 Kings, let's go read on there. 2 Kings 22 now, starting in verse 12 now. "Then the king commanded Hilkiah the priest, Ahikam the son of Shaphan, Akbar the son of Micaiah, Shaphan the scribe, and Asaiah a servant of the king, saying, 'Go, inquire of the Lord for me, for the people, and for all Judah, concerning the words of this book that has been found. For great is the wrath of the Lord that is aroused against us, because our fathers have not obeyed the words of this book to do according to all that is written concerning us.'" So Hilkiah the priest, Akbar, Shaphan, and Asaiah went to Huldah the prophetess, the wife of Shallum, the son of Tikva, the son of Harris, keeper of the wardrobe. She dwelt in Jerusalem in the second quarter, and they spoke with her. Then she said to them, "Thus says the Lord God of Israel, tell the man who sent you to me, thus says the Lord, behold, I will bring calamity on this place and on its inhabitants, all the words of the book which the king of Judah has read, because they have forsaken me and burned incense to other gods, that they might provoke me to anger with all the works of their hands. Therefore my wrath shall be aroused against this place and shall not be quenched." So here we have this calamity that's spoken about here that was coming upon them just as was told to them in the book of the law. God already warned them, if you forsake me, do no longer follow my commandments, that this is what would happen. And now he has been confirmed here by the prophetess here when he sent to find out what the Lord, inquired of the Lord here, and God has told him that these things will come upon them for their disobedience. This is why Josiah humbled himself before the Lord. This is why he mourned, because of them becoming a desolation and a curse. So why was Josiah able to receive God's word in such a way? That's the whole point I want us to get out of this lesson. Why was Josiah able to receive God's word in such a way that it struck him so hard that he wanted change and that he mourned before God? Because that's what God's word needs to be doing to us. If God's word no longer cuts us, if God's word no longer provokes us to change, then it is doing us no good. We need this heart, as Josiah had. So let's look on there to the next verse. There in verse 18. But as for the king of Judah, who sent you to inquire of the Lord, in this manner you shall speak to him. Thus says the Lord God of Israel, concerning the words which you have heard, because your heart was tender, and you humbled yourself before the Lord when you heard what I spoke against this place and against its inhabitants, that they would become a desolation and a curse, and you tore your clothes and wept before me. I also heard you, says the Lord. Surely, therefore, I will gather you to your fathers, and you shall be gathered to your grave in peace, and your eyes shall not see all the calamity which I will bring on this place. So they brought back word to the king. Here God tells him something that we need to get out of this whole lesson here. There in verse 18, God says, thus says the Lord God of Israel concerning the words which you have heard, because your heart was what? Tender. Your heart was tender, and you humbled yourself before the Lord when you heard what I spoke against this place. Josiah received God's word. He humbled himself. His heart was tender. We got to have a heart like Josiah. We got to have this tender heart here. We need to have this heart. So how can we have this heart like Josiah do? How can we have this tender heart here before the Lord? We need to think about that. We must have it. God's word here has caused humbleness in Josiah. It caused him remorse for their disobedience. It's caused action to be taken in Josiah. Let's read on there and let's see some of the action that's been taken there. Chapter 23 now, starting in verse 1. It says, now the king sent to them to gather all the elders of Judah and Jerusalem to him. The king went up to the house of the Lord with all the men of Judah and with him all the inhabitants of Jerusalem, the priests and the prophetess and all the people, both small and great. And he read in their hearing all the words of the book of the covenant which he had been found in the house of the Lord. Then the king stood by a pillar and made a covenant before the Lord to allow the... Back up there. Then the king stood by a pillar and made a covenant for the Lord to follow the Lord and to keep his commandments and his testimonies and his statutes with all his heart and all his soul, to perform the words of this covenant that were written in this book. And all the people took a stand for the covenant. Here we see Josiah now taking action upon what he's just heard. We don't see a man here that God has told him now because of what he's done that he will at least go to his grave in peace. And Josiah going on his way thinking, well, good. I'm going to my grave in peace. I ain't worried about the rest of you. Josiah was a man who had a tender heart. Josiah was a man who knew there needed to be change in their lives because they are no longer following God. They have turned from the holy commandments that was delivered to them. He knew there needed to be change and he took change. He wanted everyone to know God's word. He wanted everyone to stand for themselves in following God. And everyone knew how Josiah stood. It was seen and it was evident by all the type of heart that he had. If we want to have a heart like Josiah, then we have to give it all to the Lord. Josiah went before the people here and before the Lord, and he took that stand there in verse 3 there. Says that then the king stood by a pillar and made a covenant before the Lord to follow the Lord, to keep his commandments and his testimonies, all his statutes and his statutes, with all his heart and all his soul. He'd done this before the people, and the people took that stand with him. Josiah knew how important it was to not just be a hearer of God's word, but to be a doer of God's word. I want us to think about that ourselves today. Do we accept God's word as Josiah, or do we reject it as most of the religious world does today? This is the difference that we see in people today. This is what makes us who we are. James 1 is a very good scripture. I always like to to look to. James 1 and verse 21, I'll read it there. It says, therefore lay aside all filthiness and all overflow of wickedness, and receive with meekness the implanted word, which is able to save your souls. But be doers of the word, and not hearers only, deceiving yourselves. For if anyone is a hearer of the word and not a doer, he is like a man observing his natural face in a mirror, for he observes himself and goes away and immediately forgets what kind of man he was. But he who looks into the perfect law of liberty and continues in it, and is not a forgetful hearer, but a doer of the work, this one will be blessed in what he does. Who's the man that's going to be blessed in what he does? The man who hears and does as the Lord has commanded him. This man will be blessed in what he does. That man who looks into the perfect law of liberty and continues in those things. Here we have two different type of people. You got a doer, or you just got a hearer. We pretty much categorize everybody in the religious world today and with whatever section. Here's the doers, here's the hearers. Hearers only. 99% of them probably over here on the hearers only. That's where most of them's at. Yeah, they heard God's word, they know God's word, but God's word does no longer do anything to their heart. It does not pierce their heart. Their heart has become so hardened that it will not do nothing to them. They can read God's word, see what God's word says, but it will not bring them to their knees. It will not bring them to remorse. It will not bring them to mourning because their hearts are hardened. They don't have a tender heart as Josiah did. But what does God's word do to us when we read God's word? Do we take God's word to heart? Does it cut us so hard that it brings us to our knees when I realize I have failed my God? That I have this sin in my life and I have to get it out of my life. We need to see sin for what it is. If we have sin in our lives, it must go. A child of God cannot continue in sin. We serve a holy God. As God has given us these things that we need to serve Him. And when we do fall short, which we all do, but when we fall short, what is our reaction to sin? Because that's where I think the hardness of the heart comes in at. Many times when we do fall short, men just blow it off. Well, we all sin. We talked about that in class today. We all sin. You know, we all fall. Yeah, ain't no big deal. Until it just sin after sin and they overtake and overtaken until no longer they care less what kind of life they're living for God. They think everything's happy-dory, that I'm serving God and we're all okay. Well, brethren, there's none of us okay if we're in sin. And if our hearts have become that way, we need to have this heart here. If sin no longer bothers us and we have a problem, then we already have been overtaken by darkness. Sin should never reign in our mortal bodies. Josiah took action. I can read a few more verses there. Back in chapter 23 of 2 Kings 23 there in verse 5, he reads some things here he's done. It says, then he removed the idolatrous priest, whom the kings of Judah had ordained to burn incense on the high places in the cities of Judah and in the places all around Jerusalem. Those who burned incense to Baal, to the sun, to the moon, to the constellation, and to all the hosts of heaven. He brought out the wooden image from the house of the Lord to the brook Kidron outside Jerusalem, burned it at the brook Kidron, and ground it to ashes, and threw its ashes on the graves of the common people. We could read on and on and on the things that Josiah has done here. He even took the priest, who was these idolatrous priests, took them out. He killed them. He wiped out all the idolatrousness here and all this pagan worship here that was in Judah. He restored the true worship back to God where it should have been. Why did he do that? Because he had a tender heart. He had a heart that wanted to serve God. He realized that they was failing God, that they have turned from God, and he done everything in his power to bring it back to where it should be, into serving God. That's the heart we need. That's the heart that should be in our lives. That's something that should be evident to everybody around us, just as it was with Josiah. They knew Josiah was serious about returning worship back to God. People need to see that we're serious about serving God. That we are a serious when we come to our service to our Lord. It is nothing we take lightly. We come together to serve our Lord. He deserves our praise. And this little bit of measly few percentage of our life that we give to our Lord, us coming together, is nothing. And everything that we do in life, we should be given to our Lord. Whatever we're doing with our work of our hands, whatever we're doing in our life, it needs to be a service to God. And that's what I want to encourage us here today. We need to have this heart here. We need to have this tender heart. So if we want to have this tender heart, we must humble ourselves before our God. We must give all to our God. We know what God's Word shows us and tells us, that we are to forsake all, leave all those things, deny ourselves and follow Him. Have we truly denied ourselves? If we're going to be a follower of God, if we're going to be as Josiah and have this tender heart, then we have to deny all ourselves. We have to have that heart, tender heart. So we have to humble ourselves. We have to have remorse when we've been disobedient to God. When we have sinned, we need to have mourning in our lives. We need to take action too upon hearing God's Word. And this needs to be an emergency action. You think about action a lot of times in the heart, and think about the heart. When we have problems with the heart, we want to hurry up and get to the hospital to stop whatever the problem is, to take that action. But that's nothing important, is what we're talking about here this morning. And if this don't sink into our hearts, and we've heard nothing, we've done nothing. We need emergency action. When we realize that our heart is not where it should be right now with God, we need to take emergency action. We need to make sure we repair it now. We need to soften our hearts. Make our hearts tender now before the Lord. And let us be the children of light and not children of disobedience. We can come hear God's Word every day of our lives and never change nothing. And if that's the life that we live, then we are not living a life before God. We are in darkness. But when we read and we study God's Word, when we look into this perfect law of liberty, that light that shines forth out of that, oh, it's going to show everything in our lives. It's going to show the nastiness, the dirtiness, the sin that is in our lives. And it should, if we have that right heart as Josiah did, we have a tender heart, then it should bring us to our knees and realizing, how can I continue to live this life of sin after what my Lord and my Savior has done for me? And realizing that it won't be very long till our Lord comes. Am I going to be ready? Am I going to be the man that's going to be as Josiah did, who turned to God with all his heart and all his soul and all his mind? Or am I going to be the man who just goes through this life as nothing really matters, just being a hearer of God's Word? Then we have nothing to look forward to but the punishment that comes with that still today. And the worst thing is the latter end for us, if we turn from God now, the latter end is going to be worse for us than the beginning was when we never knew God. Brethren, I hope I've encouraged you this morning in thinking about these things, just thinking about the heart of Josiah. I know it's made me think, I want to have a heart like Josiah. I want, if sin's ever in my life and I have sinned, I fall short of God, I want it to bring me to tears, knowing that I have failed God. And I do not want this in my life. And I want to make sure that I'm being that light that I can be to the world around me, to y'all. And we can encourage and edify one another. We can be there for one another. And God has given us His body to do that. But if we start forsaking that, then we've lost it all. We will fall. And great that fall will be. Brethren, we need one another to continue to strengthen one another. We need each other so that we can continue to be the light we need to be. Let's continue to encourage one another. Let's continue to make sure our heart is right before God. Let's fix anything in our hearts that's not right. Let's don't wait till tomorrow. Well, let's don't wait till later. No, we need to fix it now. Get our lives right before God now. If there's somebody here that might need prayers at the congregation. Maybe somebody here who wants to become a child of God and give their heart to God and start their race with the Lord now. We can help you in that. But if we can help you now in any way, we want you to come now as we stand and sing a song that's been selected.